Thank you, Abby. Beautiful song, O Lamb of God. I want to ask you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 51. The great thing about the book of Psalms is in almost every Bible, it is smack dab in the middle. If you just literally open your Bible to the middle, you'll probably wind up in Psalms. Just find chapter 51, and we're going to just read one verse, verse 10, for our message this morning. And our message this morning is entitled, Renew. And again, we want to remind you of our theme for this year, for 2019. It is Renew, Restore, Refresh. Now this morning, the message is Renew. I'm going to give you a quiz. What's going to be the title of the message next Sunday morning? Well, y'all are sharp this morning. How about the next Sunday morning? Refresh. Very good. The next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at renewing, restoring, and refreshing. We're going to look at the biblical model for that to happen. So let's go ahead and read verse 10 at this time. And of course, you're going to see the word renew in this verse. Verse 10 says, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray together. Father, that is our prayer this morning, that we would be renewed. We know that this world can beat us down. We know that life circumstances can steal our joy. But we pray that in 2019 we will renew a right spirit within us, that we will that you will restore unto us the joy of your salvation, and that we will be refreshed as we follow you. Father, this service is in your hands. Nothing good will happen unless you are working so that things will happen. I pray that every heart here will be open, every mind will be open to what you have for us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Renew, restore, and refresh. And as I was thinking about this message, I was thinking, what are some things that we renew? And I came up with four things, even though there's certainly more than that. Sometimes we renew our wedding vows. I've known people to do that. I heard the story one time about a wife who was very concerned because her husband would not tell her that he loved her. And she was so concerned that she went to her pastor, and her pastor had them both in the office. And he said to the man, he said, don't you love your wife? And he said, of course I do. He said, well, why don't you tell her that? And he looked at his wife and said, when we got married 20 years ago, did I tell you that I loved you on that day? And she said, you certainly did. And he said, well, if anything changes, I'll let you know. Now, let me just say here, if that's your idea of a good marriage, you're in big trouble, all right? But we renew our wedding vows. We renew financial transactions. Any of you that has a CD, at some point every year, you'll get some paper that say you have so long to renew this CD, or you can cash it out without penalty if you do it in a certain time. But we renew financial transactions. We renew licenses. Everybody's license has an expiration date. And at some point, you're going to go to the DMV, and you're going to wait 6.5 hours, and you're going to get your driver's license renewed. Sometimes we talk about renewing our cities and towns. There have been successful stories, especially of small towns that were run down, and they renewed the towns. And a lot of times they'll talk about renewing a downtown. And after I had done this, I thought, you know, some might think of the military. They might call it re-upping, but you renew. And you say, you know what, I've served 6 years, and I want to go ahead and sign up for 4 more years. But we renew in that way too. But I want to tell you this, the most important renewal we can do is the renewal of our minds and spirits. That's far more important than renewing vows, or renewing a financial transaction, or renewing a license, or renewing a city, a town. It's renewing our own minds and spirits. And again, look at verse 10 there. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And look at the part I've underlined. And renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Now, before we get to renewal, I want to start with the question of why do we need renewal? Why do we need renewal? And I've got four reasons for you here. First reason we need renewal is that our lives are not what they should be. If I asked you this morning, every single person, is your life right now what you want it to be? If we are all honest, there's not a person in here that would say, my life is exactly what I want it to be. Some may be very close. Some of you, there's a phrase we hear today, living the dream. Some people are living the dream. Others are living the nightmare. But you know what? Our lives are not what they should be. And because of that, we need renewal. Here's a second reason we need renewal is what I call the Eeyore syndrome. Everybody knows Eeyore. He's most of your favorite characters from Winnie the Pooh, isn't he? Doesn't matter how good things are, he can always find a black cloud in that silver lining. Eeyore can always find what's wrong. And he always talks like this. This is how everything is. And you walk up and some people just are jumping around saying, hey, how's everything going? And Eeyore, he will crash the mood quicker than anybody else. Well, it's really not going well right now. You know who Eeyore reminds me of, other than Baptists? Eeyore reminds me of the Old Testament Israelites. I've got a verse up on the screen, Exodus 15:24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, you might just be looking at that going, okay, it's a verse. The people are upset, they're murmuring, they're saying, we're thirsty. What's the big deal? Here's the big deal. That was 3 days after the crossing of the Red Sea. 3 days, they had seen the greatest Old Testament miracle other than the creation of the world, and they're grumbling about water. Now, here, I'm not Moses, but I'm a little sarcastic. I would have said, hey, folks, the Red Sea is about 3 days' journey back that way. There's plenty of water there. That's what I would have said. Moses was a little more gracious. But here they are, folks. Here they are just 3 days after seeing the most incredible miracle they could have seen, and they're already griping and fussing. And, folks, I can't jump on them because if I'm honest, I'm much the same way. I'm much the same way. What shall we drink? You know, I look at that, and I wonder what would have happened all the way throughout the wilderness if these Israelites, when they got thirsty, instead of going, what's to drink, if they had said, hey, Moses, we're thirsty, but we know that we serve a great God, and we know that He can provide. Would you pray to Him so that we can have water? Man, what a difference that would be. By the way, you'll see both types of people on this planet. You'll see people who are all, yeah, everything, and you'll see people that even in the most dire circumstances can still have a smile on their face and say, God's still good. God's still good. And see, the danger of this thinking like the Israelites were is what eventually it will lead to. Hebrews 12:15 tells us, says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Folks, when you are constantly negative, everything's wrong, life is horrible, I promise you, you will become bitter eventually. And it will be sooner than later. What happens when you're bitter? Notice what it says there. You'll be troubled and many will be defiled. Can I just tell you this, folks? Bitterness is not content staying inside one person. It always spreads. By the way, that's really sin right there. I don't know of anybody that says, you know what? I'm going to go out and have some good time sinning tonight, but I don't want anybody with me. I'm just going to do it all by myself. That's not the attitude of sin. The attitude is, hey, come with me. Let's see what we can destroy. And folks, that's what happens. Folks, if you get negative and it turns into bitterness and all of a sudden life just stinks and it falls apart. In fact, folks, some people are so negative, and I wanted you to see this in writing, not just from my mouth. Some people are so negative, if they saw Jesus walking on water, they would spread the rumor that He can't swim. That's how some people are. Folks, don't be that way. Don't let that bitterness springing up. It'll trouble you and it will defile many. Here's a third reason for a need for renewal, and it's this. Folks, we get into a rut. We get into a rut. We do the same thing every day, the same way. We get up at the same, and after a while, we're just, okay, it's time to get up, time to go to bed. And I know all of you know this, folks. A rut is just a grave with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is. You stay in a rut long enough, and both sides will seal up, and you'll be gone. What we forget is Psalm 118:24 that says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What if we woke up every morning and said that verse out loud? What if we woke up and said, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You don't look like you're going to do that tomorrow morning. What if we did that tomorrow morning? What if every person in this church did that tomorrow morning? I'm not going to ask you if you're going to do it, but how many of you are capable of doing that? I'm not asking if you're going to do it. All right. The reason I'm not going to ask if you're going to do it, because I don't think that many hands will go up, all right? But at least we're capable. What if we all woke up tomorrow morning and said, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I love what Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations when he said, "God's mercies are new every morning." Every morning. And I don't care what happens today. Folks, today can be horrible, and we've all had horrible days. I just know this. Tomorrow morning, my God's mercies are going to be brand new again. Here's a fourth reason for the need for renewal, and it's just plain sin. All right? We just sin. We get away from God, and we need to be renewed. That's why David first said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." The very first thing he said was, "I need to get clean. I need to get my sin taken care of. When my sin's taken care of, God can then create in me a clean heart and renew that right spirit within me." Folks, if you want to renew a right spirit, you got to deal with sin. And that's not fun, but everyone has to do that. Now, let's look at what brings renewal. Here's the good part of the message. How do you get renewed? And I've just got a few things, and in every one of them, you're going to see a change. Because I'm telling you, renewal does not happen without change. Now, you all know that that's an absolutely dirty word in a lot of Christians' book, don't you? Change? Now, I have a lengthy joke about change, and I'm not going to do all of them. I'm not going to talk about all of them, but it's how many of each different denomination it takes to change a light bulb? Okay. Please don't get offended, folks. All right. For example, how many charismatics does it take to change a light bulb? It's just one, because their hands are already raised. How many Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None. They use candles. How many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? Well, first they have to determine whether it was God's foreordained will from the founding of the world that that light bulb be changed. And then once they figure that out, they will change it. How many Southern Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, first your name must be submitted to the nominating committee to become a part of the light bulb change committee. And then once you're a part of the light bulb change committee, you will have four sessions. In the fourth session, 14 of the 15 people will resign, and the last person left will change the light bulb. But my favorite, folks, how many independent Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is change. You'll get that in a minute. But all of these have to do with change, folks. And here's what brings renewal. First, a change of circumstances. Now, I started out with this one because, folks, this is not the one you need to depend on. So often we say, well, you know, if my circumstances change, I'd be a happier person. If this person would quit behaving that way, you should see the change that's going to happen to me. Folks, don't depend on other people to change. They may and they may not. But here's what I know. I know that you can change. I can change. I don't know about anybody else. But folks, sometimes our circumstances will change and they can get better. Genesis 45:27. Folks, this is probably the greatest example of circumstances changing in the whole Bible. And they told him, that is Jacob, all the words of Joseph. which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Folks, here was a man that thought his son had been dead for 22 years. And one day his brothers come home and say, guess what? Joseph's really alive. And at first the Bible says he didn't believe them. And then when he saw all of the carts and the cattle and everything that was out there, his spirit revived. Wow. You know what changed for Jacob? His circumstances changed. But folks, I want to stress to you again, this is the dangerous one, because we get in our minds, well, as long as my circumstances will change, I'll change. Folks, February 28th, Publishers Clearinghouse is giving out $5,000 a week to somebody. If they drop by my house, my life will change. It will change. And then they have it now where once you're gone, you can pass that on to somebody else. And they get $5,000 a week for their life. And it's legitimate, folks, because it's not gambling, okay? You can go ahead and sign up for that at pch.com, but tithe on it if you win, please. $5,000. Folks, if somebody stopped by my house and said, here's $5,000 a week, my life would change. My life would change. That would be exciting. But here's the problem, folks. We wait for circumstances to change. Well, as soon as this changes, folks, it doesn't matter whether your circumstances change or not. You need to change. Well, if I worked at a different place, everything would change. If my crazy sports team wouldn't lose a playoff game on Saturday, everything would change. And folks, we're waiting on everybody and everything else to change. And folks, if you're waiting on that, the change likely will not occur. Here's the second thing, changing perspective, a change of perspective. Sometimes we look around us. Folks, I know you know this. This world is not friendly to Christians. All right? This world is not friendly to Christians. And sometimes we want to hearken back to an earlier time in America where we have what some have called a cultural Christianity, in that there was a day, and those of you who are especially up in years can testify to this, that when you sent your children, you were probably the child at that time, but when you went out of your house, basically the community all around you had the same moral values as you did. It's not that way anymore. It's not that way anymore. I remember a man telling me one time when he was a kid and he did something wrong and got kicked off the bus. And he said, the biggest mistake I made was telling my dad. Folks, his dad did not go to the school and protest. His dad yanked him and took him behind the woodshed. All right. That's what happened to him. Folks, there was a time when our values matched our community's values. And I'm not saying that Cleveland's a bad place, not at all. This is still has an old town feel to it. But folks, the society just doesn't have the same values as we do. You send your kid out the door today, and who knows what they're going to hear and what they're going to experience in the neighborhood. But what I'm talking about now is a change of perspective. No matter what's going on, you need to change your perspective. Let's look at David in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. You know why? Because somebody had invaded their town and taken away all their wives and all their children, all their cattle, all their possessions, while David and his men were out, and they came back and nothing was left in the city. And they got back, and the first thing that everybody said was, let's kill David. He was greatly, folks, would you be greatly distressed if everybody around you said, hey, let's stone that guy? That might be an understatement to say that David was greatly distressed. And it says there, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I ask you, did David's circumstances change? They didn't change. You know what changed? David changed. And I want to tell you this, we spend so much time looking at our problems that we forget to look at God. And I've told you this story before. I heard a man preach this in Florida, and the very last line of his sermon was this: the next time that I start telling God about my big problems, instead, I'm going to start telling my problems about my big God. And that's what we do. We say, oh God, man, look at what's happening to me. This and that. Instead, what we should be saying is, praise God. You're bigger than anything. If God be for us, who can be against us? That should be our attitude. And you know what David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. And I've said this many times, when I get to heaven, I want to sit down with David and say, exactly what did you do to do that? How did you do that? I want to know. Because it's difficult sometimes. But I tell you how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And I want to tell you, if all you're looking at is this earth, you're going to be depressed. This earth's a pretty depressing place. But if you set your affection on things above, God will bless you and you will have the focus in the right place. Here's the third thing that brings renewal: a change of mind. Folks, we've got to change our thinking. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by, ready, the renewing of your mind. Folks, you want transformation in your life? You've got to change the way you think. You've got to renew your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It comes about when we change our thinking. And I know we've all heard this phrase. Sometimes we have stinking thinking. And we've got to change that. But I want to tell you this. If you ignore everything in this message, you can just go right back to whatever you want to be. Okay? But if you truly want to be renewed, listen to what God's Word says. Our scripture reading this morning was Ephesians 4. And again, I want to read those verses to you. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. There it is right there, folks. Put off the old, get renewed in your mind, put on the new. But you've got to have that renewal. And then one more verse about that. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So right there in all those verses it said we have to have a change of mind. And if you want to be renewed, your mind has to change. Folks, that means you might have to reassess some things that you're thinking. You might have to reassess some relationships in your life. You might have to reassess some people. And I say this, I promise you, I say this kindly, but there are people that in years past that I have either gotten them out of my life or I've gotten out of their life. Because folks, they'll just drag you down. They'll drag you down. Now, I do believe this. I do believe trying to help people, absolutely. But folks, when you help somebody and help somebody and help somebody and help somebody and you try to lift them up and you try to be encouraging to them, and after a while, folks, if it's not going to work, I say this kindly, just walk away. Just walk away. And I don't say that lightly. I don't say that lightly. I'm not saying just start writing people off left and right. Not at all. But I am saying this, there are probably some people that it's best they just not be a part of your life. Here's the last thing. What brings renewal? A change of spirit. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now folks, we understand this. These other verses we've been talking about have mainly applied to people who are already on their way to heaven. This verse applies to people who are not on their way to heaven. And He makes this clear. Folks, it's our salvation does not come by our works of righteousness. Listen, I want to tell you this. I hope you do good works. I'm serious. I hope everyone in here does good works. But please, please do not depend on those good works to get you to heaven. It doesn't work that way. You cannot get to heaven by being good. And here's why. Because God's demand is perfection. And I don't care how good you are, you're not perfect. And if you ever start thinking you're perfect, let me know and I'll ask your wife and she'll set us all straight. Folks, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Notice, it's according to His mercy He saved us. God had mercy on us, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, it's not what we've done. It's what He did. And notice this, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, the picture here is that at the moment of salvation, it's like being washed. Folks, what can wash away my sins? Go ahead and say it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I remember a man that was on my ordination council. And he said, you know what happens when you remove the blood of Jesus from the Bible? You have this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. That's what you have. But notice the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, when a person is saved, the Holy Ghost is already working on them. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit convicting us. Listen, when a person gets saved, they're not introduced to the Holy Ghost at that moment. The Holy Ghost has already been working on their heart. But when they get saved, it's a renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's a renewing. It's not just the Spirit working on the outside convicting you. It's now the Spirit working on the inside renewing you. And listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can walk out of this building brand new. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? Say it out loud. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You can be brand new this morning. Don't you love that? By the way, I've always loved when I see that on a box of something at the store and it will say, new and improved. And I'll look at that and think, well, what have I been buying for all these years? And by new and improved, what they mean is they changed the formula that much so that they could say, ooh, this is new. But folks, I'm telling you, you can be renewed of the Holy Spirit this morning. If you just realize, number one, that you have sinned against God. You are a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. You have to realize that Jesus Christ took your sins on Himself when He died on the cross. I heard someone say one time, they asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus stretched out His arms this wide and died. That's how much Jesus loved us. And He took your sins and my sins upon Him. And folks, He didn't stay in the grave though. He rose from the dead. And right now, if you have never trusted Christ, you can be saved this morning by placing your faith in Him. What do we mean by that? Simply this, trust Him for what He's already done. And if you're wondering what you're trusting, I would ask you this, how are you getting to heaven? Because I want to tell you this, whatever you answer, that's what you're trusting in. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, then you're trusting in yourself, and all I've got to say is this, good luck. So, well, my family, they're all believers. Well, then you're trusting in your family. But listen, if you trust in Jesus Christ, it simply means this. You are saying to Him, Lord, You took my sins away on the cross, and I believe that and trust it, and I believe You rose from the dead, and right now I want to ask You to be my Savior. He will do it this morning. He will do it this morning. We're going to end where we started, Psalm 51:10. But I want to emphasize the first part of the verse. Create in me a clean heart. Folks, that's what God wants to do in all of us this morning. If you're already a Christian, listen, God wants that renewal so you can have that right spirit. And we have outlined how you can do that this morning. If you're not a Christian, right now, you can trust Jesus. You can say, Father, I am a sinner, and I believe Your Son died on the cross to take my sins away and rose from the dead. And listen, I've said it before, it's not particular words that God's looking for. It's that trust, that faith that you really believe Jesus died for you and rose from the dead. Listen, will you do that this morning? Will you trust Christ as Savior? And Christian, I want to ask you, How do you like your life so far in 2019? Would you like to be renewed, or do you want to just live the way you've been living for year after year? If you want to be renewed, get it settled with God this morning. Don't wait. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're inviting you. If you've never been saved and you want more details, we'll have someone down here at the front who can share with you how to be saved if you'd like more information. If you want to just come and pray at these altars and say, Lord, I need that renewed life. Folks, I want to tell you this, and I've experienced this. Sometimes it just takes a person just being completely sick of the way their life is before they'll change. And maybe you're looking and going, well, my life's not what I want it to be, but it's just not all that bad either. You're in a dangerous spot right there. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Listen, why don't you get it settled this morning? Why don't you just come down here, and if you want me to pray with you or someone else to pray with you, we'd be glad to do that. But listen, don't put it off. Don't put it off. You come as we stand at this time, please. And let's pray together. Father in heaven, bless this invitation. And I pray that lives will be touched and changed during this time. Thankful for those who were saved last week, and we just pray that we can have more come to you. And Lord, we pray for that one who is struggling, and that they want renewal. They want their lives to be better. And Lord, I pray that they can take what they've heard this morning and apply it to their lives so that they can indeed have better lives and a renewed life. Father, again, bless this invitation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.